Good evening. It's wonderful to see everyone out tonight, and I will certainly encourage you to open up your Bibles and follow along as we study together tonight. Everything that's said needs to be out of God's Word, as God's Word is the rock that we will stand on, and a thing that will ensure our ability to stand the test of time. No matter what comes against it, we know that the house that is built on the rock, it will stand firm. And so please follow along tonight to make sure the things are said and they're done that are all in accordance with God's Word. And if you have a question, I would love to answer those questions. Just see me afterwards. We'll open up the Word of God and determine what is actually correct. Tonight we're going to be talking about choosing your identity. Choosing your identity. Now, no, we're not talking about some sort of secret agent sort of thing. And we're not talking about us going to some sort of witness or relocation program to choose an identity there. But the fact is that everyone identifies somewhere and with something. We all identify somewhere and with something. Now, back in school, you may remember, and if you're in school now, we had jocks, we had nerds. We had rebels and we had princesses. We had probably a few other categories as well. But each person identified somewhere in the spectrum of things that were available. In sports, you might be an IU Hoosier. You might be a Boilermaker. You might be a Colt fan. You might be a Patriot fan. You identify somewhere in life in general. We have folks that identify along a great spectrum of things. Some identify as being black or white or Hispanic. We have people that identify as being oily or crunchy or Second Amendment people, militia people, Lalichi people, all sorts of things. We have people that identify with I'm white collar, I'm blue collar. We all identify somewhere. And none of these are wrong. Now, maybe being an IU Hoosier, possibly. But I'm just saying, sorry to the Ellisville folks, but I don't know how you lived all those years down there being surrounded by cream and crimson, but good for you. So, you know, look, I spent my 5 years at Purdue, and we do the best we can. None of those are wrong in and of themselves, now are they? But are any of those the thing that we want to center our lives around? Should we be centering our lives around being the jock or the nerd? Should we center our lives around the color of our skin or the Second Amendment or this or that? Is that what we center our lives around? We know what we're supposed to center our lives around. And if you turn over to Matthew chapter 6, we'll read that together. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And I hope that in this listing of things that you identified and you realize that any number of those things and many more become the driving cause and purpose in a person's life. But look what it is supposed to be for the Christian. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Each of us is going to put a peg in the ground somewhere. And from that peg in the ground, we will circle around and around that peg, and we'll wear that area out. But you know, some of these things really speak to us. And we're a big proponent of certain things. And it falls near and dear to our hearts. And when we hear that, we so are drawn to that. And we feel a pull to that. And it's not hard to know what kind of things pull on us. It's not hard to know at all. Just listen to how a person talks. What do they talk about? Observe their dress. Observe their homes. Follow them on Facebook. You'll figure out pretty quick what's important to a person by doing any number of those things. And in keeping with biblical truth, the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, and you could go all the way through verse 37. The mouth is going to speak out of that which fills the heart. And when our heart is full of things, we're going to talk about it. We're going to let other people know about it. We're going to post about it. We're going to share about it. Why? Because it's filling our heart. And out of that full heart, we are going to speak and we are going to act. Now, when I talk about putting a peg in the ground, I want you to think about how we sometimes do, and maybe you've seen this in a yard. There'll be a big circle out here in the yard where there's grass in all these areas, but somewhere over here there has been a dog, and that dog is on this chain. And the chain only goes so far, and then all the grass in that area is all worn out. How many have seen something like that? And the grass is all worn out. Why? Because that dog will go all the way out to the length of that thing, and it'll go all the way around the perimeter of it. And it just wears this area out. Now, folks, there's a peg in the ground. And that chain is going to limit how far that animal can go. But in a similar vein, in life, each of us is going to put a peg somewhere. And each of us only has 24 hours in any given day. And we're going to spend our mental energy and our physical energy, our emotional energy. We're going to use up our influence on something. What is the something that you are using up? What do you spend the bulk of those hours with? What cause are you promoting in your life? We understand how easy it is to get drawn into different things. It's the PTO. It's the Scouts. It's this club over here. It's some cause in the neighborhood. They're trying to organize something at work. We're trying to do this. Something is going to get your mental and physical and emotional energies. You're going to be talking with folks who know you, like you, trust you, and you're going to be trying to influence them for something. What is the something that you're using those physical and mental energies for? What is that something that you're using up your influence for? Is it something of lasting importance? Is it something of eternal importance? Because you realize that over a given period of time, everything else is passing away, right? And there's one thing and only one thing that remains. Knowing I only have so much, where do I put the peg in my life? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Again, since the mouth is going to speak out of that which fills the heart, we're just going to listen to the Apostle Paul here, and I think you're going to see where he put his peg in life. In 1 Corinthians, rather, chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." Any question where he put his peg in life? Any question where the Apostle Paul spent his physical energy, his mental and emotional energy? If he had an ounce of influence with somebody, what did he spend that ounce of influence that he had with the folks around him? Was it all about tent making? We know he made tents. But was that the primary emphasis of his life? Now, we really got to get these tents right. Right. The seams aren't quite right. This isn't right. That stake is not right. We need to work this thing over. And that just dominated his thoughts and his time for months on end, right? No. That was a small part of the thing. There was something that came first. Everything else had to come in way second to that. We know where his emphasis was, where he put his peg in life. "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." It's where his physical and mental energies went. If there's any goodwill, of any influence, that's where it went. What do we put ours towards? When people think about you, it's the first thing that comes to mind. What do they know of you that just dominates your thoughts and your energies? What is it about you that people remember? If you're going to be used up and worn out and poured out as a drink offering in the service of some cause, what is that cause that you'd be spent to propagate? I ran across a quote here a few weeks ago, and it was an interesting one. It may be one that you can identify with. It's one about the Second Amendment. And it says, "I'm willing to die to protect my Second Amendment rights. Are you willing to die trying to take them away?" Now, depending on your personality, your background, your beliefs, you might identify very, very solidly with that. You say, "Yeah, that's right." Is that where we want to put our peg? So that everything is spent about us around that. And, "Oh yeah, I'm a member of the Lord's church and I want to go to heaven too." Is there more? I think there's more. Let's talk about that more. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, he says, Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me and is a safeguard for you. Which, by the way, John, is why I don't have any problem re-preaching sermons, right? I'm just trying to remind you of what I already said. Moving right along, verse 2. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision, for we are the true circumcision. Oh, wait. It sounds like to me some folks put a peg in the ground around something, didn't they? And just one of the things here that he mentions is the false circumcision. There are some who are going to go out and have teaching, the preachings, the whole doctrine revolved around one point over here. That was their life, to propagate that one thing. If you weren't that, you're out and all this. That was their issue. Everything they did was around that one point. Verse 3. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh. If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I have far more. Now he's going to list for you some of the things that the people, now a lot of this is lost on us today. Why is that a big deal? But he's going to name for you some of the things that people put a peg in the ground and said, this is who I am. And their life revolved around that very thing right there. And he gives us some of these things. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as the law of Pharisee. Each of these, peg, 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 I'm a Pharisee, you're a Sadducee. Oh yeah, well I'm a Sadducee and you're this. And the life revolved around that. He says there are things that have to do with the flesh. These things are putting confidence in the flesh. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless. And for all of these things that you'd put a peg in the ground and say, this, I'm all about white collar stuff, all blue collar stuff, I'm about this and that. What does it say about all such pegs? All things that are not rooted in the eternal. In verse 7 he says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Now look, if you're a big man on campus and you're popular because your athletic ability is good for you, that cannot be what your life circles around. It cannot be. If you're real smart, real brainiac, and boy, you're just climbing the ladder of success over here in some industry, good for you. But I tell you, you are more than that. You're an eternal being that's looking for something more than just what is found at that corporation. There's more to you than that. And you need to realize it. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Does this sound like a man who found that pearl of great price and then sold everything else to go and get it? Does this sound like a man who discovered this thing that was hidden in the field, and by the joy of that he went and he sold everything else he had and he went and he bought that field so he acquired it? Do you get that impression about him? Everything else is, I count but rubbish but loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. Yeah. Both what he wrote and what he lived are one and the same. Verse 9, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. It is a powerful thought to consider who we are in Christ Jesus. Powerful thought. If we could have an exercise for just a second. If you're 18 years old or younger, would you stand up right now? If you're 18 years old or younger, stand up right now. Stand up. All right. Now I want you to look around. I want you to look around at the adults that are sitting down right now. Who these are? This is royalty. This is spiritual royalty that you're looking at right now. These are princes and kings in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. These are blood-bought, redeemed people who have given up other things to be able to come and to follow Jesus Christ. That's who they are. That is a special thing, friends. Special indeed. Consider that when you're with a group of people like this, that you're in the presence of this world's royalty and the one to come. That these are people that are inheriting this earth and something far more special than this earth, but the one to come. All right, you can have a seat. And parents, let's never forget what we're trying to do with this next generation, that this is our future right here. And they're the ones, when we're too decrepit to do much, or even in the grave, that are continuing to propagate the very kinds of things we're trying to teach, even this very night. I want you to see, well, in those first 11 verses, there are things that are not worth putting the peg in the ground right there and spending your physical and mental energies and any influence you have. It's not worth it. Those things are passing away. So let's switch gears and start with verse 12 and go down through verse 21. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. He says, I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus for something. Is it fair to say that each of us have been laid hold of by Christ Jesus for something? And I guarantee you, it is not just to make your workplace a better place and better benefits for the workers there. It's not just so that the PTO has more funds in their coffers to do more fairs and things. You are more than that. And Jesus Christ laid hold of you for something more significant than that. He laid hold of you for your salvation and for the salvation of others. Brethren, verse 13, I do not regard myself of having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to that which lies ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. And you can see it, folks. Just check a person's home, their Facebook status, and all that, and you can tell when something other than heaven is what is most important to somebody. Oh, you can see it. Shows up very clearly, very quickly. Verse 16, however, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have obtained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Rejoice when you find others who are pursuing heaven and are trying to bring others along with them. Rejoice in that. Encourage them. That is something to be stimulated by, to be encouraged by, to have that motivate you the next day and the next day. And hopefully you can come in with a story about someone you've talked to, some success you've had, and you can encourage someone else. In verse 18, for many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Folks, we're after something bigger. If you gain the whole world, forfeit your soul. Good deal, bad deal. Terrible deal. Terrible. And yet, how many people are putting their pegs in the ground over earthly things and spend their physical and mental energies and all their influence on trying to get that thing pushed forward? We're after something bigger. Verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven. You're a U.S. citizen, good for you. A lot of benefits in that, no doubt. A lot of freedoms in that. A heavenly citizenship is far more valuable to you and will be for eternity. From which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. This is the bigger stuff that we're after. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Oh, we worry so much about our positions in life. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Here are things that people would put their pegs in the ground. I'm a Jew. And everything circulated around being a Jew. I'm a Greek, and in their day and age, a Roman citizen, right? And everything circled around that. He says, There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. All the causes, male this, female that. He says it all washes away in Jesus Christ. It all washes away in Jesus Christ. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. That's what we're really after. And all those other pegs in the ground, they're all supposed to just wash out for this one peg in the ground. And that is the fact that I'm Christ Jesus's. And I'm a part of this kingdom. Heaven is what I desire. And I want to bring others with me. Let's look at it from another angle. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, beginning in verse 12. This sixth seal that is being revealed here. I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come. And who is able to stand? Here's a admonition to you. Here we put our peg in the ground. I'm a commander. I'm a king. I'm rich. I'm this. And all these pegs in the ground without Jesus Christ, understand, if you're not right with the Lord, it doesn't matter what you are in this life. It doesn't matter where you end up in this life. If you're the CEO or if you're doing some menial task down here, it didn't matter if you're not right with Jesus Christ. There's one place and one place only to put our peg in the ground and to spend all of our physical and mental energies and to use up our influence that we might have with friends and family, neighbors and co-workers and classmates. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in our final scripture tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you think I'm encouraging those who have light to be light, you're right. If you think I'm encouraging those who are supposed to be the salt of the earth to be the salt of the earth, you're right. Because if it doesn't come from us, where's it going to come from? Where will it come from if it doesn't come from us? Those who know better, who know the truth, who understand the great grand principles that are at play here. Because quite frankly, as much as this earth is impressive, As neat as it all is and as amazing as this world is, do you realize that this world is all just going to be rolled up? A fire is going to be set to it. That this world and all the things in it, it just simply serves a purpose. This world, as amazing as it is simply a suitable habitat for our God to carry out His grand plan through His Son about bringing many sons to glory. That's all it is. And at the end of this day, this world, as impressive as it is about as significant as a paper towel that's meant to be used. And when it's done and served its purpose, to be discarded. And yet we're jockeying for position. We're trying to hit the heights here. Folks, this is just the beginning. This is the preliminary stuff. We're looking for the real stuff that is yet to come. Don't burn yourself up and use yourself out in the preliminary rounds. We're looking for the real thing that's yet to come. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse 18, was any man called when he was already circumcised? He is not to become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? He is not to be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and yet there are people who spent their whole lives making a claim that it was something. Everything that did. And all their influence, their teaching, preaching, it's all about that one thing. He says, circumcision is nothing. And uncircumcision is nothing. For what matters is the keeping of the commandments of God. Do you see his point? You can put your peg, but there's something that's just far more important than anything else, and that's where you got to stake your claim. Keeping the commandments of God. Each man must remain in that condition in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Now listen to this. Were you called while a slave? That seems like a terrible thing. Were you called while a slave? Listen to the next part. Do not worry about it. And yet for some people, it's completely absorbing. It's something I'm completely obsessed about. And until this changes, I can't think about anything else. And here's the apostle saying, do not worry about it. It's pretty significant. Apparently there's something of far higher order than that, isn't there? He says, but if you're able to become free, rather do that, that's great. But that's not the preeminent thing. That's not the most important thing. The commandments of the Lord are the most important thing. And he goes on from there. We go down to verse 20, 23. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. If you can get free, do so. However, don't obsess over it. Whatever that other thing is, don't obsess over it. You want to get better benefits at work? Great. Fine. I'll push them forward. Don't obsess over it. You're after something of higher order. You identify with the Lelechi movement? Great. But don't obsess over it. There's something of a higher order. Whatever you want to put in the blank, there's something of a higher order. That's your salvation. Righteousness and salvation. And taking others with you. And anything else that you choose, when you do, you become a slave of men, of earthly things. And the reality is, what we all need to know is, we are Christ. We belong to Christ. Part of the spiritual royalty. People who have a home prepared for us. People who have a citizenship, not just here, but there, and one that lasts eternally. I hope something in the lesson tonight has been encouraging to you in this idea and this concept of choosing your identity. Everyone chooses to identify somewhere or with something. What will you use up your mental and physical energies? And if you have an influence, any influence at all, with a friend, a family member, a co-worker, a neighbor, a classmate, what are you using your influence for? Choose carefully where you put your peg in life. If you tonight are not a Christian, I encourage you to become one. The plan is so very simple. If you've heard and believe what you've heard, won't you act upon it tonight? Won't you repent of sinful things? Won't you repent of your rejection of Christ and of God's laws over you? Won't you repent yourself of those things, determined to do them no more? Will you tonight confess your belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God? Allow Him to be Lord in your hearts. In this thinking thing that we have on top of our heads and all the decisions that we make every day, I want you to imagine that in your head there's a throne that sits there. Jesus is on that throne. And every thought that you decide to think, that thought has to pass before the throne. Is it okay, Lord, for me to think this? And the answer is either yes or no. Is it okay for me to do this, Lord? And the answer is either yes or no. Every decision, every thought, every motive, everything passes past the throne first. And we get the nod of approval or we get the no. Allow Him to be Lord. Based upon your repentance and your confession, your surrender to Him, won't you this evening be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? Have you done that? But you've identified with the wrong things. You pushed forward things, but you've obsessed over it, and it became your life. You used up your influence on things that are passing away. If tonight you realize there's sin in the life, I encourage you tonight to repent yourself of that. If it's of a private nature, I encourage you to pray to God for the forgiveness of that sin. If it's of a public nature, I encourage you to confess that sin publicly or pray with you and for you for the forgiveness of that sin. And if tonight you simply need the prayers of the congregation, the strength that they can provide, I submit to you that you are never alone when you're one of the Lord's, that you are surrounded by an army of people who would like nothing better than to come beside you and throw an arm around you and walk with you, even through the darkest, hardest parts of life. That's a wonderful privilege that we have when we're around Christian brothers and sisters. They'll walk with us. And while other people are abandoning us and shaking their heads, saying, "Wow, I can't believe they've got problems," you're surrounded by people here who will walk.